to Hebrews chapter 12. We're in this series we're just calling Focus. And this morning we want to continue that as we look in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews. And we've been looking at this little section where he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. You know, a couple of weeks ago we introduced this whole thing and we talked about being a Christian and following the Lord and how the Hebrew writer talks about what we need to be doing. We talked about that great cloud of witnesses that are written and told about in the book of Hebrews and how they've gone through many of the things that we have gone through before. And then we've looked at those verses in Hebrews chapter 12 that say, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And this section of Scripture is kind of the section that we are really focusing on. But this morning, I want us to look at one little part of this. And that one little part is where he says, let us run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Let me just ask you, how many of you like to run? Raise your hands. Yep, see, that's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought. I'm with you. My hand is not up, I promise. Now, I had a day and time when I was in college. I was one of those guys that got up early in the morning and I would go running. As you can tell, that has not happened for a long, long time. You know, I used to get up and do those kinds of things, but now I look at running and there are so many reasons not to run. Have you ever noticed that people who run are really crazy, strange people? I mean, they go to bed early. They get up early. They eat all those crazy foods like salads and eggs that they put in blenders and those kinds of things. I mean, they wear those little clothes, you know, that if I wore, I'd be hanging out all over the place, and so you sure don't want me wearing any clothes like that. I mean, people who run are just crazy. And then, besides that, their goal in life is to run a marathon. I don't even know how long a marathon is. I think it's 102 miles or something like that, isn't it? I mean, that's their goal. There is something wrong with people who run. There is just something in their thought process. Then there's the other part of it. For me, at least, life just gets in the way. How about you? I don't have time to get up that early in the morning and go running. I don't have time to get up and do all those things. Life gets in the way for me. I have too much to, you know, I have this thing called a J-O-B. Do you have any of those? You know? And if you got one of those, then you don't have time for all this other kind of stuff to get up and just go do nothing like run. I have responsibilities in other places that take my time. You know, for most of us, we're families, we have kids, we have grandkids that we need to take care of, we have a job we need to do, we have places we need to be. I don't have time to just go run around the block for absolutely no reason whatsoever, other than that it will probably give me 20 more years of my life, but, you know, I don't have time for those 20 years. And most of us are there, right? And so with that in mind, I think it's fitting as we look at this section where the writer of Hebrews talks about running, I think it's fitting for us to kind of look at this and think, wait a minute, why is he making this comparison of running when most of us, and by the way, we are no different from the people that he was writing to way back in the first century, when most of us, running is not a top priority. But for every one of us, we understand it, don't we? We understand the value of running. We understand what it means to run a race. We understand what it means to be in a marathon. We understand what it means to cross the finish line. Even if we don't cross it first, we understand what it means just to have crossed the finish line and say, I did it. I accomplished it. I was able to run, and I was able to, all the way through the race, get to the finish line. We understand it. So when he uses this analogy, he's using an analogy that they would have very well understood, but we understand very well also, that we are in a race. You know, some people in this room, and I feel more and more of a passion for this group, Some people in this room, we talk about this race that we're running as Christians, are people who are kind of like I am when it comes to running. Now, I'll sit on the sidelines, and I'll watch, and I'll kind of cheer. You know, I'll clap every so often and say, good job, keep going, you're doing great. I'll encourage. But you ask me to actually get in the race, it's the last thing I want to do. Sometimes I think there are people in the church that are just like that. There are people in the church, and you have to make a determination for yourself whether you fit in this category or not. But we'll sit on the sidelines. We enjoy watching the race. We'll cheer and applaud and say, you can do it. We'll encourage all the encouragement you need to do. We'll even be one of those that stands on the sidelines sometimes, and we'll have the water like we talked a week or two ago. And we'll hold the water bottle so as the guy running by needs a little water, he can grab the bottle from us. I mean, we'll be servants, right? But get me in the race? I really don't want to get in the race. I mean, it's too much work. It's too hard. Why do I want to be in the race? There are others of us, I think, that may say, you know, I hear about this race, but I really don't know what the race is. I don't know exactly where to start. I don't know exactly what the race entails. And the writer of Hebrews gives us some examples of people who are running in the race. The last couple of weeks, we've talked about some of those examples. He talks about, in this section here in chapter 11 and chapter 12 of Hebrews, those great defenders of the faith. Those people, men and women of faith, who have gone before us. He gives us examples of those who have been in the race and been willing to run in the race. But sometimes we say, what's the race? And here's one of the most important things for us as Christians. The race is not a direction that we're running. It is a person whom we follow. The race for us as Christians is not necessarily the direction we're running. It is who we follow. We tend to think sometimes that God's will is a direction that He wants us to go. And isn't that exactly what we pray sometimes? God, show me Your will. Show me Your direction. When we really should be praying, God, help me to be a better follower of Christ. Help me to understand what Jesus wants in my life. Help me to understand that as I'm running this race and I'm following Him, that I can run the race. And I wonder sometimes, what would Jesus say if I came to Him and said, what's this race? What are we talking about? And I went and asked Him the question, you know, what's the way? Where should I be going? And I think Jesus would come and just answer and say, you know, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I'm the absolute truth. I'm the one that you need to follow. And anyone comes to the Father, they come because they're following Me. They come because of Me. And I think if you went and asked Paul, what's this whole race thing about? What are we after? What's the goal? I think Paul would say to us, hey, stay on track. Paul would say, follow Jesus. And then he may even go on to say, follow Him as I'm following Him. I mean, I don't do everything right. I'm not perfect in every way. But here's my goal. My goal is to follow Jesus. My goal is to look to Him. And I'm going to follow Him. So if you get off track, if you need some help, if you need some encouragement, come see me. And together, let's get back on track because I'm following Him. I think Peter would say the exact same thing. He said, anyone who is confused, and you know there are a lot of people who are confused. There are a lot of people who don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. He just says, hey, are you looking for someone to follow, a place to aim? Are you looking for a direction to go? Then follow Christ. Pursue after Him. Be like Him. That's the race. John was running the race, and he didn't want anybody to be deceived. So John would say something like this. There are going to be a lot of races out there. Everybody, and a lot of people who are going to claim that this is the way you need to go and this is what you need to do, don't get sidetracked. Don't get off the main track. If anyone claims that he is the person to follow, let's just come back and focus on Jesus and let's just see. Because the only one to follow in this race is Christ. You see, that's what the early church tried to do. They were oftentimes called the way. And I think if you asked them, what are you doing? They'd say, we're following Christ. Just like Peter and Paul and John, the early church said, our race is to follow Christ. And I think they would say that one of the things that they're doing is that there is a race marked out for you. Every one of us, as Christians, we're in this race. And the race is something that we continually run. The race is something that we continually do. And by the way, it is not just that you're in the race. It's how you run the race. It's not just a matter of just kind of going down and doing your thing. You need to be a part of it, participating in it. And one of the things that God has done for us to help us run the race is He has given us His Spirit, the Spirit that He promised to give us as Christians. And I don't know how, but there's something about the Spirit of God that's in us as Christians. Then when we start running the race, He really gets energized. And when that happens, He in turn really begins to energize us. From the inside out, He begins to energize us. Because we're in the race. We're running the race. We're moving ahead. We're following the Lord. We're doing what He wants us to do. And so every step of our life, everything that we do, is a step in the race. But I want you to notice some things about this race. I want you to notice some things about our running. Here's the first thing I want you to notice that this section of Scripture tells us. It says, we run. And I found that to be true. When we run, the Word comes alive in us. We struggle so hard sometimes because what we have a tendency to do, and we all do this, is we compartmentalize our lives. Don't you do that? I mean, you have one compartment over here, this is your job, right? And we have been taught as Americans that when we leave our job, the phrase goes something like this, leave your work at work, right? So we have this compartment we call work. We have another compartment over here. We call this compartment family. And we have our family things we do that we're involved in as a family, and that's a part of who we are. We may have another compartment called our friends. Now, sometimes some of these may intertwine a little bit. Some of our work people may be our friends. Some of our family relationships may also know our friends, and so they may intertwine just a little bit. But really, there are times where I just want to go out and be with my friends, right? And then we compartmentalize church, the Bible, our Christian life over here. It's another compartment of our life. And just as our family is important, our friends are important, our job is important, this is important, but very rarely does this part of our life intertwine with these other parts of our life. And really, as a culture, we've been taught that, haven't we? You compartmentalize your life. But one of the things that we have to understand when we're running this race is that running the race is not a matter of compartmentalizing the Word. It is a matter of intertwining it. The race is all of who we are, intertwined, working together. And so when we run the race, the Word becomes alive. It becomes alive in our relationship with our friends and our family, even our job. It intertwines all that we do. It even somewhat ties them together. We also notice that when we run the race, we become more effective. It's interesting that as we're in this race and we're running this race, that those things in our Christian life that sometimes we try to compartmentalize become so much a part of who we are that no longer they compartmentalize. Our prayers become more effective. Our reading of the Bible becomes more effective. Our lives become more effective. We say, God, we need you to move this mountain no matter what part of our life it's in. We need you as a part of this, and we need you to touch this part of our lives. And Father, I need you to show up in my life. I need you to do the impossible. And so we run every part of our Christian life, our prayer life, all that comes together. And when we run, it's interesting that sin gets shown for what it really is. You see, if we're compartmentalizing over here, and here's our Christian part, and our friends and our family and job, whatever else, then we hold over here this idea of sin, but it never really affects over here. But as we run the race and we begin to intertwine all these, and these begin to touch the rest of this, then guess what? We begin to recognize in all these other parts of our life what God really wants us to do, and sin gets shown for what it is. And when we run over every hill and around every bend, when we run, we start to see God, that He can do the impossible. Because no longer are we holding Him out here in some section by Himself, but we're allowing Him to move in all these parts of our lives, and guess what? That's where God wants to be. And He begins to do the impossible in our lives. He begins to do things that we never imagined could be done. And He says, look at what can be accomplished when we run the race together. And when we run, we start seeing people the way that God sees people. You know, we start seeing them the way that God sees them, as individuals, as people, as those that need to be loved, as those that have needs, those that are just like us, that we're really no different. And by the way, don't we need today in our society for people to learn to look at people the way God looks at people? It doesn't make any difference to me if your skin is red or black, if your skin is yellow or purple. It doesn't make any difference to me. People are people. Guess what? Jesus died for every single one of them. There's no difference. And so we need to let that influence begin to come into our lives and realize that we see people the way God sees people. There's a second thing I want you to catch about this race that we're running. Not only are we running it, guess what? We are running it together. I am not out here all by myself in the middle of the winter, in the cold, running by myself. All the rest of you are with me. In other words, we're doing this together. That's how we experience Jesus. We run together as a church. We run. We love people unconditionally, recklessly sometimes. We grow in our relationship with God. We grow in our relationships together. We run together. We invest our lives in the lives of other people. We let go of the past. We let go of whatever and say, hey, this is where I am today. Take it or leave it, but this is who I am and this is where I am, and we're going to work together. And sometimes we just have to be honest. There are so many different people around us. Even in this room, there are so many different people. Some of you in this room, be honest, don't raise your hands, but be honest. You've never run the race, right? You've been the person maybe standing on the sideline, and maybe you're the person that's been cheering everybody else on, that's running the race, saying, you're doing a good job, stay in there, what do you need? I'll bring it to you. But you've never been willing to get in the race. Some of you, as time went on, you began running the race. You became a Christian and you were in the race and things were great and you were going along and you were happy and you were out there just giving it everything you have. But after a while, all these other things begin to kind of move in and come in. And you know, you'd run a little while and then you'd stand on the sideline a little while and watch other people. And then you'd run a little while and you'd stand on the sideline a little while. And eventually, you know what happens? We're standing on the sideline. And we're not in the race at all. And be honest, it happens to us, doesn't it? There are others in this room that are in the race. And we're running. And we're moving. And we're trying. And we're involved. But we need to realize that all of us need to be involved in this race together. And that's the way it was in the early church. As a matter of fact, I love this passage. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. In other words, how are we going to do this together as a church? Then there's a third one I want you to catch, and that's this. We run no matter what. We run no matter what. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to kind of look at this section that we're looking at here in Hebrews chapter 12, where it talks about running with perseverance. And real quick, and I know it's 11 o'clock. Sorry, Bill. But I know it's 11 o'clock, but let me unpack this for you for just a second, okay? Because there's some words I want you to catch in this that are very important. There are three words that he brings up in this section of Scripture. One of the words that he brings up is the word run. The word run in Greek is trekomen. Trekomen, it's an active word. It is a word that is active now. He's actually saying, let us keep on running. Every day, every morning, noon, and night, let us keep on running. Let's trekomen, continually active. Second word is the word translated perseverance. It is a word that has the idea of continuing on. It is the word hupomen. Hupo actually means like. It means to go under. As a matter of fact, it's where we get our word hypodermic. You all like hypodermics? Hypodermic needle. Hupomen is where we actually get that word. And it means to go under. But that's not all that there is to it. This idea of perseverance means more than that. It means to go under with strength. The best picture I can give you, do you remember the picture of, and I should have put it on the screen, I didn't, but do you remember the picture of Atlas? Remember Atlas holding the world up? You've seen that picture? That's the idea of this word. That's the idea of the word perseverance, that we're running the race with perseverance. And then the word race itself. It is actually an interesting word. The word race itself actually is a word, and there were a lot of Greek words, quite frankly, that they could have translated as race. You know the one that they actually chose? It is the word agona. Does it sound like anything you know? Agony. It is actually the root where we get the word agony. And quite frankly, if you ask me if I'm out running in a race, it is agony. And there are times where I don't want to be in the race. There are times where I'd rather stop. There are times where I don't want to continue on. But you have to continue the race. He says, run this race with perseverance. Continue on. We're going to run this race together. We're going to run this race no matter what. We are going to be in this race as Christian people. We are going to let the Word of God filtrate through every part of our body and filtrate through every part of our life and who we are. The bottom line is, he says, run the race. I'll be real honest with you. One of the reasons that we are talking about coming together with Axis Church and having one church in two locations is for this very reason right here. It is a matter of opening the doors of opportunity for all of us so that we can be in the race, we can run the race together, and we can run the race no matter what. So that we can be involved in what God's called us to do. We can be involved in reaching souls for Christ. We can be involved in ministering to families. We can be involved in touching lives and changing them, not just today, but for all eternity. We are in a race, not by ourselves, not by LifeBridge Church. We are in a race together with all of those who are followers of Christ, no matter where they are. And in running that race, we together encourage each other, hold each other up, work together so that we all can follow Christ. The question for us as individuals and as a church, as Christians, is, are we standing on the sideline of the race and looking at the racers going by, or are we really willing to get into the race and run the race? And really, that's the question we have to answer, isn't it? Are we willing to be runners in the race that God has called us to? Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of the church. Thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for the gift of your spirit that goes with us. And we pray, would you well up in us a desire to run with you, to be like you, to pursue no matter what. And we want to not be misguided by anything on the side. We don't want to just stand on the side. We want to focus on Christ and what He's called us to do. We want to present Him. We want to pursue Him. We want to follow Him. We want Him to shape us. Starting today, we want to get out of the seats, and we want to no longer stand on the sidelines and just hold the water bottle, but to be those who participate in the race. And it's in Your powerful, incredible, and amazing name that we pray. Amen. Stand up for me, if you will, as we close this morning. We're going to sing Our God Reigns, because really this is kind of where it starts, is realizing that with all things, Jesus is supreme. Sing this with me.